It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Happy Monday. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with you. It is the Chase and Big Joe show. So much to get into on this Monday, including the tournament that's been going on. The Predators, 17-game point streak after, I'm going to call it a playoff win, one-game playoff win on Saturday. That's what it felt like being at Bridgestone Arena. And, oh, yeah, L'Jarius Sneed is a Tennessee Titan, or about to be.
What a weekend, huh?
What a weekend.
It started, just took off, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and didn't end. And it's fun, man. Winning is fun. Although we rooted the MTSU Lady Raiders.
Yep.
It was a good game. First half, good game. And the referee said, you know what? There's no way that LSU is going to lose on their home court. And let's call 37 free throws for LSU and 9 for MTSU. Look, I'm not going to blame.
Right. You know where I'm going with that.
I'm not going to say that if it was even that Middle would have beaten LSU, but it would have been a hell of a lot closer than that. But hats off to Rick Ensel and the Lady Raiders who, I mean, they let them in half. And
yeah.
Then you knew LSU was going to come back on a tear, and they did, and that's what happened. But congrats to the Lady Raiders. Great season. Hell, they hadn't lost since, like, last year, like December 30th.
Oh, so, I know.
Well done.
Oh, they're fantastic. Tennessee, it wasn't pretty, but they get the win. Win's a win. You know, you'll take them anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, Houston's sitting there this morning going like,
yeah.
Whew. And it, by the way, I've already talked to our GM, Sean Ford. I talked to him this morning. He was one that turned it off because he thought it was over, that Houston had run away with it. So I bet there's a lot of you out there that either completely missed it or you got that text from your buddy like, hey, are you watching this Texas A&M Houston game?
Right.
Fantastic basketball. Just it's why we love March Madness.
Have we not learned not to turn games off yet? Have
we not learned
to leave games?
I would think.
We had that one discussion, the question that one day of like, have you ever left a game early and like, oh, yeah, and I regret. It's always regretful. It's always regretful. And the old tired, stupid excuses, well, you beat the traffic. Well, you know, traffic's going to be bad anyway, no matter where you go, what you do at a sporting event. But, yeah, we've learned that lesson. So no, there's no excuse, no ignorance of the law. What is that
yeah.
when, you know, you know what's happening, and so don't turn it off. Watch.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So Houston will now play Duke in the Sweet 16. Tennessee advances. They will play Creighton. Creighton's a good team, but I think Tennessee should beat Creighton. So now we'll see.
Well, you'll be up till midnight Friday watching it.
So. The thing that, like, I heard the stat and I knew the stat, but then I heard it and I was like, are you kidding me? And then I got, like, angry. This is the third Sweet 16 appearance that they've had under Rick Barnes.
They've only had 8, correct? Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
So three under.
I mean, look, 3. And Bruce got him there once or twice, right?
Twice, that I know of.
Yeah.
07 and 10. And 10, he got him to the – that's the farthest ever been to the Elite 8 was in 2010.
That was Konzo, wasn't it?
That was not. It was Bruce.
But, I mean, Konzo got him to the Elite 8.
He did not. They've only
you
been
sure?
in positive. You look it up.
I thought Konzo – or maybe it was the Sweet 16. What? They did something they weren't supposed to do.
Hey, what if I told you?
Fine.
Don't argue with me. I'm pretty sure no Konzo got him to the 16 in 2014.
I'm going to check this.
And then he's like, see ya. See you later, suckers. And then went to Cal. But I think it was.
Well, because he was going to get fired.
We got him the Sweet 16. Like that Long Beach coach. You got him. We're going to fire you, but oh, you made the tournament. Damn it. And then the
AD
goes out.
Sweet 16 was 2014?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And I told you the Bruce Pearl story, but 2010 and then I think 2007 they went as well. 2007, Tennessee was up huge over, was it Ohio State? They're up like 25 at half or down 20, something crazy. And then either they came back or Ohio State came back. It was a heck of a game. And so that was 07's team that did that.
Yeah, Bruce got him there 3 times, and Barnes has got him there 3 times.
What was Brewski? 11?
07, 08, and 10.
Okay.
Yep. So 07 was his
second year.
Yeah.
Up there.
And then they got there in 14 with Konzo, and then 1923, 24.
Not bad. But it's crazy. Only one Elite Eight for the Tennessee. But you go back, there used to only be 32 teams got in the tournament.
Yeah.
So, and then now it's 64. Now it's going to be 1,000 teams in the tournament.
What's crazy is before Bruce, they had gotten to the Sweet 16 3 times in their history. 67, which I don't know who the coach was. 81.
Ray Mears.
In 67?
Yes.
What about 81?
Don DeVoe.
And then 2000?
Jerry Green.
Jerry Green. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So three different coaches.
Moving on. Yeah. Yep. So they got a great shot to be Creighton. And now the showdown would be, who does Purdue play on the other side of that?
Who does Purdue play? Let me look it up. I don't remember.
Is it the four? I don't know. I mean, it's so. But the, all the
favorites. I've lost track of everything.
All the favorites are still
Gonzaga.
Winning. Gonzaga. Okay.
This is not going to be easy.
No, it's not.
So
Creighton's going to be tough. Then you got to play Purdue, and then you know that's then you get to the Final Four. But you got to get to those two. Creighton's going to be a tough game for him.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some national radio this weekend, and like, well, you know, if Creighton, Tennessee, and because these guys don't know, like Creighton. They're like, Creighton, and, you know, they've played really tough this year. What, huh? Just stop it. If you don't know, you don't know anything. But I know that Tennessee played okay Saturday night, and they still won. Yeah. And so I don't think it was ever in question they were going to win. So they got it done. So congratulations to them.
So Friday night, you know, everybody's kind of doing their thing and unwinding, getting ready for the weekend. I'm on the way to my favorite establishment, and phone starts just blowing up. And I'm like, what are all these notifications I'm seeing? Adam Schefter, the Tennessee Titans are finalizing a deal to acquire cornerback Lajarius Sneed from the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was like, they did it. And I had literally just done a four-hour show with Teron Davenport.
Yeah.
That we had talked about, and you and I brought this up of, it's like, you know, this is one of those things that it just won't go away. You know, it's kind of like there's, you know, we joke around here, the baseball to Nashville story just won't go away. You know, it's just there's certain things that when the story won't go away, you kind of keep your eye on it. And I remember looking at Teron and just going, they're probably going to do this. I don't know when, but, you know, maybe it's closer to the draft, but it's like the longer this goes on and the more the Titans are mentioned.
Right.
They're probably going to get this done. Well, it was 2.5 hours later. They got it done.
Can I ask why Kansas City is letting him go if he's that good?
They can't. You know, this is where the whole
– I thought Mahomes redid his contract.
He did, but they also signed Chris Jones.
Okay.
So it would have been really tough for them to sign Sneed to a long-term deal. And here's the other thing, too. I think they're worried and the Titans should be worried about the knees. I'm a little concerned about that. That his knee's holding up. But they basically looked at it as we'd rather re-sign Chris Jones. So they did that, and they couldn't do a long-term deal for both because while the cap is manipulated, it's still in existence, Jared. But, you know, they had to kind of choose. I mean, the fact that the Titans are only – giving up a third next year and swapping seventh this year. Now, obviously, they're going to have to pay him. They're going to get him on the long-term deal. That's pretty impressive. So we got a tweet. It's the other thing I want to address. We got a tweet last night. Jim Wyatt had posted a picture of all the GMs that are down in the meetings in Orlando.
Right.
And he says, Rand Carthon on the front row. We got a tweet from Half Pints Point. Hope you guys recognize him. And I'm like, I've gotten a few of these in texts and stuff. I'm like, we've never not recognized him. Like,
what the hell does that mean?
Like
recognize the job he's doing?
Yeah, I guess.
Or recognize that he's a black man?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because he's doing a hell of a job.
Right. I agree. Like, I don't know what – I feel like these texts and these tweets are coming towards us about giving Rand credit. And I'm like, we've been giving Rand credit. I don't know what you're talking about.
You and I, you know, I don't listen to all the other shows nonstop, but you and I have given this man credit for what he's done after basically, you know, Vrabel shutting him out of everything.
Yeah.
I think he's done a
cooking
hell of a
right
job.
Now, man. Yeah. I mean, like, the Titans are spending money. They're making now.
But they're spending good money.
They're spending good money
on what they need.
They're not like us if our mom hands us $100 right. And we just go and buy crap.
Well, they're not giving like $5 million to Carl Pickens.
Right.
Who just come off 9 years with the Bengals and is like, oh, he's going to come here and play. No, they're not doing that anymore. Look, they got a center. Now you got two corners. I mean, come on right there.
Yeah. And look, I'm gonna say this until I'm proven otherwise. They're better. This team, we can sit here and I think you and I can agree – that this team today is a hell of a lot better than the team that ended the season last year.
100%. And that credit goes to Rand Carthon.
It goes to Rand Carthon. I still am not ready to say they're a playoff team. They still got some holes to fill. Let's get through the draft.
Right. Yes, and I agree. So don't tell, you know, somebody's like, well, you know, Callahan's got all this. That's garbage. Let me tell you why. If the Titans win a football game in September, do you give Rand Carthon credit for winning that football game? No, you don't.
No, you give the coach.
You give Callahan.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, the credit goes to Rand Carthon for building this team, getting the center, getting the two corners, getting Calvin Ridley coming. He's built this. He's went out. He spent money wisely on these guys to get him in there. So he gets all the credit now. Now it's Callahan's job to win games going forward.
Yeah, it is. And your hope is that what you're seeing with the hockey team, with, you know, you knew what the plan was going in. The Barry Trotz had this plan, and he brought in some of these perennial serial winners and, you know, veterans, and then the mix of the young guys, and then the new coach. And I think they are ahead of schedule right now. You're hoping that that happens. But I think Titans fans need to be excited and kind of have the same outlook that maybe they did for the Predators in, I don't know how good they're going to be, but I think they're going to be fun to watch. Yeah. And I do. I think this offense is going to be fun to watch. The secondary, you feel a heck of a lot better about now because you got three corners that are in the spots they need to be in. Now, obviously, they got to stay healthy, but I think, you know, acquiring Snead, you have Awuzie on the other side, and you're going to put McCreary in the slot, which is where he really Perfect. Is the best. So you put him there. You still need a safety.
Hooker can stay healthy.
Yeah, Hooker needs to stay healthy, but you still need another safety to right. go alongside him. And then you got to address the middle and then the defensive front.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to be doing that in the draft.
But that's okay.
That's fine.
Instead of going like, God, they need a center and they still need a tackle on both
You've
sides.
You've checked a lot of things off.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, so, yeah, there's a lot of good things right now that Rand Carthon's doing. So bask in that and have fun with it. The draft is a month from today,
yep,
April 25th. And so I'm on board, man. Get that left tackle. I still think somehow Harbaugh is going to screw this up for the Titans at number 5. I don't know how. But somehow, some way, he's going to screw this up.
Maybe. I mean, but I think it's hard. It's hard to screw it up. It's hard to not get a good draft pick at 7. Like, you really have to try to screw it up.
True. But if the guy you want goes at 5, then the guy you want goes at 6. And then I told you the story is when 2010, the Titans really wanted Jason Paul-Pierre.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Jason Pierre-Paul? Who's Jason Paul-Pierre?
He was on Cheers back in the 80s.
Jason Pierre. Is it Jason Pierre Paul?
Yes. Sounds okay. Like a French painter.
That's what he is.
Okay. JPP.
He is. When the Giants took him, right? The Giants took him then, right before. And then the Titans like, oh, we're going to take Derek Moore. We love Derek Morgan. They did not want Derek Morgan. Jeff Fisher can sit here and tell you all day long they wanted Derek. They did not want Derek Morgan. They wanted Jason Pierre Paul. Didn't get him. So at 7, if you – Alt's there, whatever. But I think Harbaugh, somehow, it's too easy right now, Chaser. It's too easy. Everything falling in place. There are going to be teams trading up and everything else. It'll be chaos on draft day.
All right, real quick, set up our question of the day.
So a lot of you yesterday were commenting about the LSU basketball coach, Kim Mulkey, about how you just can't stand her, right? You just can't stand her.
She looked like the fruit stripe gum, like you tweeted.
That's exactly
out.
Right. She's like the mascot for fruit stripe gum. And that's fine. And people are like, well, you don't like her. She's a woman. No, a lot of Middle Tennessee fans. But I was reading comments around the country that don't like her. So our question today, give us a coach who drives you, who is driving you crazy, or has, you know, maybe the coach is no longer here, still drives you crazy long ago. So that's our question. 615-737-1025. Tell us a coach that's always driven you bananas. I know we'll get a lot of Kim Mulkey. We'll get a lot of Gino that comes in here. We'll get a lot of Saban. That's fine. But we're going to hear from you about a coach who drives everybody or drives you insane.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
A shot by Gostisbehere stopped. Saros got the save. 6 seconds to go. The puck flipped out. It goes rolling toward the empty net, but time will run out. And the Predators win a 1-0 classic against Detroit to go 15-0-2 in their last 17 games.
Whoa, we're the real deal in here. You go to everybody tonight, but holy moly, what a goal to be!
Look at that, look at that.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
Oh, yes, they call him the streak.
Woo!
The Preds are streaking, that is for sure. Not quite
are.
That way. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The great Pete Weber on the call. Predators win a classic, 1-0. Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. I was there. I got to tell you, it felt like the old Detroit Red Wings, Nashville Predators matchups from the, you know, the late 2000s and just the old days of the rivalry. There were catfish on the ice. There was a catfish eating a squid on the ice. Like, it was
nice.
It was awesome. So just a really cool atmosphere. And as you heard Pete say there in the call, that they are now 15-0-2 in their last 17 games, a franchise record 17-game point streak, and they'll play the Vegas Golden Knights on Tuesday. But the interesting thing is they've been putting up a lot of goals during this streak. They needed to play defense on Saturday. It was a Detroit team that brought a lot of pressure. The Predators equally brought pressure, and UC Saros – rightfully so, is the star of the game. And I love what Michael McCarron said. Holy moly, what a goalie. That's a good one. That needs to be on a shirt. But, I mean, Saros was fantastic in that win. And then the guy that you need to be clutch when you need a clutch move in Philip Forsberg, you know, he has the fight earlier in the game, which is pretty rare, only the second one in his career.
I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I... Not on a regular basis, but...
Breaks his hand. He's out for 6 weeks.
I know. But it is what it is. You got to stand up for yourself sometimes. He scores the game winner in the closing minutes of the game, and the Predators win it 1-0. It was awesome.
I get it. I mean, Phil is tough. I understand all that. But it's like when Mike Fisher would fight, and all the girls worked with at Channel 4. It's like, don't hit him in the face.
Fisher did fight on occasion.
Right. Yeah, so. But that's, I mean, if there's one guy you don't want to see out, I mean, it's
sure,
Forsberg.
Sure, I get it. I mean, sure. But it was like, okay, Phil, all right. I mean, he kind of lost the fight. But
Why I love Darcy Hordachuk when he was here way, because he'd like, all right, I got you number 12. All right. Then he'd go out and he'd fight the guy who just tried to fight one of the top players of the Preds.
Yeah, Darcy was like.
He's
like,
the best.
All right, okay, let's go.
He was the best. I mean, he was. And then he told me off the record, I probably told the people too, that there were certain players would pay his fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you went out and beat up some guy that beat up Paul Kariya, then somebody in Paul Kariya would pay his fine for him. I was like, fantastic.
But, hey, and then he tried to give it back and, you know,
right.
to get them to buy into Crocs, and they should have done that.
Oh, my God. That's a whole other story about Crocs and Darcy. Who's the Preds player now? You know far more than I do. That's got the most hits in the league?
Jeremy Lauzon.
Okay.
He's currently out with injury right now. But, yeah, Jeremy Lauzon. So,
is he feared?
No, he's just – a big body. It's just physical.
Okay.
I don't know if he's not like a goon, like, you know, like
you.
Yeah, or you. I mean, like, Darcy Hordachuk was an enforcer, which back in the day, those were the goons. Those were the guy, and the game's changed a little bit now.
Oh, massively.
But, I mean, there's a few. Who's the kid that plays for the Rangers that's already got – I mean, he's fun to watch. I mean, he's – but – so Pat McAfee, a lot of times, well, when there's a big fight, he'll post it on his Instagram account. He did with Forsberg. He's like, Forsberg throwing haymakers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Nice. And that's the thing is that, you love the passion. And, you know, you don't want him to back down, but at the same time, I mean, you just being just bad luck in sports. He's like, can you imagine? It's like, yeah, he's out for a while. He broke his hand. Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh no!
But it was so the standing ovation was awesome. I ran into Sean Henry after the game.
What's he up to now?
He had half a voice because I could tell he'd been yelling.
Right.
It was just such a cool atmosphere that I haven't Like, it felt like a playoff game.
Good.
Was, you know, and it was just so cool to experience that.
Well, Red Wings on a Saturday afternoon is kind of cool because it harkens back to when this whole franchise started in the battle. They were the little brother to the big brother.
There were still a few Red Wing fans there, too.
Good, that's fine.
You know, I could tell. Because I saw a few people that I recognize, and I'm like, huh, your jersey got redder.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there are – and that's the point. I mean, there's a lot of passionate hockey because we're such a melting pot of a town. So there's a lot of passionate hockey fans that come in here. I forget what game it was. I think it was the Islanders game back in January when the Islanders came in and went on the ice, and I think they might have got a goal. I don't remember, but, I mean, there were so many Islander fans in the crowd. It was like, my goodness. But you know what? It's good, especially when the Preds can shut them all up. It's even better.
Robbie Stanley just texted me. He goes, it was fun, and he should never fight again.
Thank you, Robbie.
My guess is Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett went to him like, hey, good scrap. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah. But then you look at it. Then you walk away. All right. Then you're like, that if I'm going to fight you and you're Philip Forsberg and you walk away from me, I'm going to chip you the rest of the game.
Look.
As much as I can.
He had to do it. But it's one of those things that you don't want to make a habit of it because your best player is off the ice for 5 minutes. Like, okay, if he gets hurt, that's even worse. But just for that moment in the game,
right,
your best player is off the ice for 5 minutes.
Did you? I was listening to Pete on the radio. Did he win the fight?
No, not necessarily.
No, he didn't. Just say no. You can say no.
No, he didn't.
I will say, though.
He gave it a good – I mean, he stood in there, but right. I mean, he was outmatched.
He was trying to do the little jersey –
Yeah.
Pull over a little.
Now he got a few haymakers in there, but no, I would say he was outmatched.
Chase, you ever been in a fight?
Two.
How'd it go?
I won both of them.
My man. I mean, like in the last since you've turned 18.
No, this was early in life. But,
okay, all right though. So you're 2-0.
Yeah,
I like it.
There was blood involved.
I will put you in Misfits Boxing next time. You and Dr. Crane doing that. All right, just curious.
Yeah. You know,
because we watch fights and we're like, oh, I can do that. But when I should get into a fight, it's like, oh boy, what are we doing here now? I mean, just land haymakers, man, then run.
I've almost been in a couple more because of, you know, ethics of if you go to a party and you know, everybody contributes, you know, to the bar, but, you know, one guy takes your bottle and just thinks it's his, you know, that's a problem.
Oh, no, was this recently?
That's a few years
ago. Was it Forsberg?
Yeah, no.
Was it Forsberg?
It's all good.
All right, well done, you know, buddy.
It got worked out.
All right, good. All right, we'll continue your question. The coach that you can't stand, we got a lot of good responses coming in. Mike Babcock is getting a lot of votes.
Mike Babcock is definitely one for me.
What makes him so bad? Was he the Red Wings that didn't stand for the anthem
or
something?
He's a jackass, for one. And two, it just, yeah, he's a jerk. I mean, really, he's just not – I don't think he's a good guy.
So, if Robbie's still listening, Robbie, I remember when Dan Phillips worked at Fox 17, asked Babcock a question about his goalie skating and warming up during the anthem, and Babcock basically said, that might be the worst question I've ever been asked in a press conference. And whoever's there media-wise
– Who asked him that question?
Dan Phillips.
Oh.
Over at Fox 17.
Yeah.
It took him like 87 seconds to ask it, too, but that was the thing. It's like, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, Babcock is winning. We got Shane Beamer votes on the text line, too. The South Carolina coach who also likes to run his mouth and really happy on Instagram but can't win football games except when he beats Tennessee when they need to win in 2022. So, keep him coming.
Rempe is who I'm thinking of. Thank you, Brian. From the New York Rangers. He's the kid that just – he's like – he's awesome. He's fun to watch. Like, he can throw haymakers too. Mike Babcock just –
Is this true what Alex just wrote
on
the text
line? Yeah. I mean, that's why – and I didn't want to get all into it. But
you can't.
Yeah, that's the big reason why. I mean, he – Toronto basically got run out of there because of the culture he created and just not – Not a good dude.
How does he go through players' phones?
I don't know. I think he made them give them to him.
I'd say no. You're a grown man. You're not getting my phone. Goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, he won the cup with Anaheim, and And then he's just pretty much been out you know, and then he was going to come back to Columbus, and then more stuff came out.
Oh, okay.
So he resigned before he even coached a game with Columbus. Oh, well. So keep him out of the league. For
well, there is we'll read these later on, but there's one coach that's getting a lot of response who I never thought in my life would be getting this much malice, I guess. I mean, there's we'll talk about it.
But congrats to the Preds continuing their 17-game point streak. Back at it tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena against the Vegas Golden Knights. And hey, you know, don't look now, but the Predators are in that first wild card spot. They're also knocking on the door of being top three in the division. Try not to sneeze. As they're at 88 points and Winnipeg's at 93. So they are slowly chipping away at potentially getting that third spot to be the top three in the division. That would be huge.
Yeah. I mean, put in your mind what this run's been like since mid-February? It's crazy.
It's been awesome. More of your calls, more of your text, 615-737-1025. You're awesome, too. Here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game. Here on this Monday, Predators streaking, Titans get Legarius Sneed, the Vols win. Let's touch on that for a second. Rick Barnes obviously had a ton of pressure going into this tournament. Well, you ramp it up a little bit because now you got to beat your former team, a team that you spent a lot of time with in your career in Texas. Texas is no slouch, but I feel like Tennessee was the favorite in that game for a reason. And they end up winning by 4, did not cover the 6.5.
Oh,
Not that I'm bitter about that or anything.
Sorry, buddy.
But a win is a win, and they advance. And so I watched this team, and, like, here's the other thing, too. Dalton Kinect had a bad game. Like, he just – shots weren't falling. You get that figured out, which you probably will. This team's got something. They got the juice right now.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, they got lucky with Kinect having off nights.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did.
Awful in the tournament, at the SEC tournament. And it's just kind of like guys are standing around waiting for him to go. Like, he's the catalyst for this team. And if he's not going, you know, in the first 5 to 7 minutes, I think they start searching and they get a little worried. I mean, he's a dynamic player. Now, if he comes out Friday night and he's smoking in the first 3 to 4 minutes and he's making shots, he's hustling and this and that, like he's played throughout the year, I think the Vols roll big time. But if they shut him down like State did – and, like, you know, Texas, all, you know, did for a good part of that because he wasn't like the player we saw during the regular season. I think Creighton's got a great shot at doing this. Now, if they get past Creighton, something about Purdue, man. Again, Purdue hasn't been to a Final Four since 1980. On that team was Kevin Stallings, was on that last. Joe Barry Carroll was on that team in 1980 that went. So I think they can get Purdue. You know, Purdue got him a few years ago. But it's all Dalton Kinect. It's how well he plays going forward Friday night that determines whether or not this team gets to the Final Four.
Joey from Bellevue just texted in, giving props to Dr. Crane, digging the Britney Spears coming back from break. So good job, Dr. Crane.
Thank you very much.
He's the best.
Throwing some Britney in there. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like looking too far ahead, but that's what we do. So obviously they beat Creighton. Then they got to take on Purdue or Gonzaga. I mean, Purdue, I haven't looked at the line. Purdue should be the favorite in that game. I'm not ruling Gonzaga out. I mean, Gonzaga is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But Purdue probably wins.
Well, Purdue's history shows that they can't get it done in the 16 or the Elite Eight. I mean, it's been 44 years now since they made it to the Final Four. So they're always there. They're always competitive. But it's still a very good basketball team. I remember they got beat by St. Peter's 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that run that they had that they went on. But it's I don't know. It's just there weren't a lot of huge upsets. There were a few here and there. I get it. You know, Yale beating Auburn, which was wow, and a few others. But, like, the buzzer beaters we've come to expect and all that that's happening. Now, the ones are still there. Are all the ones and all the twos still in it? And most of the threes? I think that's correct. I think I heard that right.
There's two threes, Creighton and Illinois. They're both there.
Okay.
Couple of fours in Duke and Alabama. Arizona's still there. There are two. Tennessee's a two. North Korea. Yeah, all the ones are still there.
8493 says, I saw on Twitter that Connect's grandpa passed away last week. Could that be the reason he was off?
Maybe.
Think so. I mean, I hate that if that's that happened. That's terrible. Yeah, obviously it could. You know,
I'll tell you the game that I think is going to be really good: North Carolina and Alabama. Wow. I think that could be a because Alabama's playing well and North Carolina's. I don't know what's going on. North Carolina's one of the, best
Chase.
Teams right now. No, it's in my throat. So.
You got the what's the Brady brother who who lost his voice in the Dr. Green, you ever watched the Brady Bunch, did you?
I've watched Thank it you. Three times in my lifetime. Okay. I can actually count on one hand.
Well, there's a scene that's Michael.
You look like you
Peter,
belong in the Brady Bunch.
Thank you.
Or the neighbor next door that comes over. And if you ever see the episode with Joe Namath when he gets on the Brady Bunch, you gotta go watch that. Because he throws the ball and he breaks Peter's nose or one of the I forget all the brothers. With brother's nose like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
5.5 line, by the way, Chase, Purdue.
Purdue yep. is a favorite?
Yes.
What else you got? What's Tennessee Creighton?
Excuse me?
He's only doing 1,000 things back there.
Just, you know, just early
well,
morning.
Well, look, we've established this before. Dr. Crane is very jumpy.
Yes.
And so, like.
Why are you that way?
I don't know.
It's a great question.
Like, there are times I'll open the door, and so where Dr. Crane is, our producer booth, the door is behind him. And so, like, I'll come in to say something during the midday show, and I'm trying to, like, be, you know, not surprise him, but I'll be like, hey, Dr. Crane. And, I mean, there's a spot on the roof from where he goes through it. Like, like you're jumpy.
I'm a jumpy guy.
I don't know how else to describe it. And so I even, like, when we're on the show, we have a talk back. Like, I can talk back to him without it going over the air. And there's sometimes I'll be like, hey, Dr. Crane. And, I mean, he'll go through the roof. Yeah. Like, it'll catch him off guard.
I got a little twitch in my neck now. It kind of hurts, a little crick in my neck, you know, where you turn real fast when you hear something in your ear. Yeah, that's – for the listeners out there, that's what we go through on a
daily
basis.
We don't want to scare Dr. Crane, but it is kind of funny when it happens.
I told Chase, like, you need a video of this every time it happens. This could be, like, TV gold, internet gold. I mean –
There was one day where I was just like, okay, I'm going to mess with him. And I walk in, and he's just focused, and I go – Dr. Crane! Oh. And I mean, literally, I hope you didn't pee yourself.
No, I do vividly remember that day. I actually did leave my seat. I did jump out of
seat. Oh, yeah.
that was another day.
So how would you do when, though, you know, you see those Instagram reels, like some guy's a tree and you walk by and he grabs you? If you did that to me, I would lay you out.
Oh,
I would do a Forsberg haymaker, man. I would turn around.
Oh, like the pretend to be statues or trees or what? Yeah.
Yep. I would lay you out.
You're not the only person.
The new thing is the guys that will like put silver paint all over themselves and they'll stand there like they're a statue and then they'll be like, hey.
Do you remember what happened to the guy who did it downtown Nashville?
No.
He got arrested for handsy. Too much doing that stuff. Some dude laid him out, too, down there as well.
Had me in Chicago once. I went to go see a baseball game, and I was, you know, going down the main strip of Chicago, checking things out in the downtown area. There's a silver statue. I'm like, oh, look at this. My brother's like, look at this. This is kind of cool. Like, it had a nameplate and everything. I was like, what does this mean? I was starting to read it, and I felt something on my shoulder, and he had a little cane, you know? It started touching me. I was like, what the heck is that? Like, I'm looking around. I thought it was my brother or something.
Oh, man.
So he's just messing with you.
Yeah, I turn around. Hand is on my shoulder. I about turned around and just gave a good old cold cock to the like.
Oh, yeah.
You should
right
have.
There. Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a – I mean, it's – I don't know. There's like – what football team was it where the they had like all the models, like the statues with the uniforms on them. One of them was a real person. So the players would come through and he would grab them. And then some dude like turned around with his bag and like swung and missed him. He would have knocked his head off.
But. No thanks.
By the way, random, I haven't mentioned this yet. You look very nice today.
Thank you.
Thank you for dressing up for the show.
Sure. I'm a casino dealer.
Okay.
So
blackjack?
Blackjack, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ricky and I will be to see you.
7-11, baby. So I'll be a blackjack down the street later on. So
7-11?
7-11, yeah. So we'll do that.
Roulette in the afternoon, right?
What's that?
Roulette in the afternoon?
Roulette in the afternoon, yes.
Okay.
I don't know if we should be saying this because on my way to work, I noticed Metro's Finest is out today. So, you know, it's a pretty day. So
I was reading, and I know we're up against the break, they are really pulling a lot of people lately for texting.
Yeah.
A lot. So don't text. Please don't text and drive.
I have a quick story. So I'm on 440 this morning.
Okay.
And I you know, there's that stretch like when you where it splits off to 65 and then it has the big bridge that you go over. So you can kind of see, you know, a good way. Well, I see a Metro SUV over on the right side of the road, and I might have been going a little fast, and so I slow down. I'm like, okay, all right, good looking out. Saw that. We're good. So I slow down. Well, this car behind me just then passes me and guns it. I'm like, well, that's not going to end well for him. And sure enough, bam, lights him up. And you know, like, if it's not you and you know you're good and you see a cop and you see a guy speed, you're like, all right, you're waiting for it. Like, he pulls off. And I love the ones that – now, he lit him up right away.
Good.
I love the ones that will just, like, pull off and they'll tail him for a second. Ugh. And then you're just waiting for it, and bam, lights him up. As long as it's not you,
right,
it's entertaining to
watch. Is there a worse feeling than getting pulled over by an officer? There's not.
Oh, no.
I mean,
and then there's always the time, too, and I know everybody has been in this spot where it's like they pull out and you go, it could be me.
Right.
Like, you kind of know, like, it might be me. I hope it's not, but it might be.
Yes.
Trying to second-guessing yourself.
Well, and that, like, this morning, like, I had slowed down, but I'm like, did he already get me? You know, or she did, and so I was like, I think it's going to be this guy, but okay, we're good. All right, we're
I told you the remedy for this. If you think it's you, pull over.
Yeah,
I've done it, and look, officers, we love you guys. And
yeah, absolutely,
we love you. But I pull over every time. I've pulled over, I haven't gotten a ticket. They've actually come up and said, "Hey, thank you for pulling over. Slow it down." So it's like three or four times. It's on the interstate with a trooper, not Metro. But when I know I'm busted, I just pull over. I'm like, I'm done.
Well, this was Metro on 440 today. So, yeah. Look,
let me ask you this question before we go to the break. Do you run a red light if nobody's around? Don't answer.
Okay.
Don't answer.
All right. I will not. You want me to answer later or just?
Later.
Okay. I will do that. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge and fill out your 16-team bracket to compete to win great prizes, including tickets to see Kings of Leon at Bridgestone Arena on September 26th. The 1025 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game here on this Monday. 615-737-1025. So, all right, now you want me to answer the question?
Absolutely.
All right. So the question is, if no one's around, do I run a red light?
Yes.
No.
God, why don't lie to me.
I don't. No. Because my paranoia is there's a cop hiding behind a bush. waiting on me.
Or there's a camera somewhere.
Yeah, just or it's a camera or something.
It is a trick question, though. Joe is right. It is a trick question.
Sure.
If nobody's around, I run every red light.
Now, have I? Yeah. Because, like, there's some red lights.
Why did you tilt your head at me?
What do you mean?
You, like, gave me a tilt head, like, come on. Why did you – was that a head tilt, like, well, better?
It was more of like
a
head –
Are you judging him?
I'm not judging.
He was.
No. Oh, my goodness. No. it's about the point of if it's late at night, 11 p.m., and people are like, oh, it's a red light. It's not, like, flashing red. It's just, like, a solid red.
Yeah, right.
So there is a rule of thumb, and I've been told by a former police officer. They said if you wait over, like, 5 to 10 minutes at a red light, which is uncommon, you can go. You do have the right.
I ain't waiting 5 minutes at a red light.
So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there are some of these lights that are just timed on, like, a country road or whatever.
Right.
That – you know, one way is going to be green a majority of the time, and but there's no sensor or anything, and so it just – I have run those.
Okay.
Yeah, I will admit that.
All right.
Now, my dad had the greatest story ever, and I think I've told this before, but, you know, he was known to kind of push it a little bit, you know, like if it was yellow and it was like, you know, if yellow's 3 seconds, he was on like 2.999 tenths of a second, and he's still going through – So He's on Highway 70 in Bellevue. And for those of you that are familiar with Highway 70 in Bellevue, there are 23 red lights,
right.
You know, in a half a mile span right. on that. And so he's going down Highway 70, and a light, you know, starts to turn, and it's on yellow. And he pushes it, and, I mean, he runs it. Like, it's a flat-out, he runs the light. Well, a cop's, like, turning onto 70, sees him. So lights him up, pulls him over, walks over, and he's like, you know, you kind of ran that red light back there. And my dad goes, oh, I thought it was still pink.
did he
the cop laughed so hard and thought that was so quick and so funny.
Did he get a ticket?
He goes, don't do it again, and turns yes. around and walks away.
Perfect.
Like, it was just, he said, that's I've never heard that one before. Good. I'm going to give you credit for that.
Good.
One.
Now, let's put it, you know, it's full disclosure here. Well, I pull up to red light, and there's no, I'm not running like immediately. I'm looking around, making sure nobody's coming. There are no police around. And then I'll do the red. That's like I do it all. I won't do it at 1 o'clock on the afternoon on Donalds and Pike. I'm not doing that.
That's not what I meant by my little head nod. I was just like, it's a trick question.
I got judged. That's fine. I got judged.
Don't feel
and I take, I mean, I take the heat for that. I understand that. But if it's late at night or morning, for the most part, I'm running that red light. I'm not going to stick around for it.
Yeah.
Because we have some awful red lights in Nashville, Tennessee. Awful.
Well, we have too many for one, but
they're not in sync. Actually,
okay. Here's the other thing. It's not that we have too many. I just feel like we have some in the wrong places where we need them in other places. Like, I'll give you a prime example. So for those of you that have been around here a while, you remember the old Sam's Club in Bellevue on Old Hickory Boulevard.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It is now, they tore it down and there's condos there, which is what Shocker. Everything is.
Right.
All right. So Old Hickory and then that intersection where you turn to go up to Sam's, there were wrecks all the time because of people trying to turn out of that, either turning left or turning right. Traffic was terrible, and they would never put a red light up. Never. My mom and I got into a wreck when I was a kid.
Damn.
There. Sam's closes, and they put a residential section there, and guess what they do? They put a red light. And I was like, forever, they had red lights in, you know, random places that didn't make sense, but they wouldn't put one there.
Right.
And I'm like, what do we got to do to get a red light here? Because there were some bad wrecks. It was dangerous. Like, you're literally turning left out of that at the old Sam's Club on Old Hickory. And it's like, all right, Jesus, take the wheel here. Like, that's what it was.
So red light's still there now? I know there's two, like, back-to-back. You're trying to get on 40, and it's like, all right, is this the one or is that the one? And I don't know where I'm going to get on.
There's, like, now there's three in that stretch.
Good Lord.
But, I mean, they're kind of neat. Like, you need them to get off the interstate.
Okay.
You know, like, you need that, and then you need the one coming out of that now subdivision.
It's a lot, man. I'm with you, brother. There's a lot. But I think a lot of these roads aren't in sync, and that's the problem. Yeah. But you go around.
Well, and it's just like I always make the joke when I'm late. You know, I'll just go, hey, sorry I'm late. I'm the red light inspector. I had to make sure they all worked. They do. They're in working order. So.
Okay, well, we got a little honesty here. That's not bad,
yeah,
though.
That was good. But well, coming up next, Brian Callahan spoke a little bit today. The owner meetings are going on in Orlando right now. I know Kuharski's down there and a few others, Jim Wyatt. He had some interesting things to say, though, when it comes to his philosophy on the Titans this year. You'll hear from him coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.